Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We would also invite you to watch our TV program that airs right after this radio broadcast at 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your TV entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also invite you to check out our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We also invite you to our worship services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and they will be given at the end of this broadcast. Please come and study and worship God with us. You will always be warmly received. We also encourage you, if you have any questions at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given a phone number that you can contact us, and we'd be more than happy to sit down and talk to you about anything spiritually that you might have on your mind, or clarification, or even disagreement about anything you hear in our program. We'll be more than happy and open Bible with an open mind, come to a better understanding of God's Word. We are looking at an overview of the Bible, and we are in the New Testament, and this morning we're going to cover the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians evidently was written not long after the first letter. The first letter had dealt adequately with the problems of questioning Paul's work, his motives, and his actions. Two problems still remain: a continued discussion of the second coming of Christ and man working for his own living. So we're going to deal with both of those in this short epistle, which is 3 chapters long. Again, as he begins the letter, he has thanksgiving in his heart for their growth. Their faith was growing exceedingly, and their love was abounding for all, and he commends them for that. He boasts to other churches about their patience and their faith in all their persecutions and tribulations which they had endured up to this time. He manifested the righteousness of God's judgment and counted worthy of the kingdom of God. We want to read verses 6 through verse 9 because they are not only important to the church at Thessalonica, but for us also. It says, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." We need to understand in these passages that there are some truths that we need to grasp. Number one, when the Lord comes again, he is coming for judgment. He's not coming for setting up a kingdom, as so many are misguided to believe. He is coming to judge. He is coming for the final resurrection and to judge all men. And he is going to place men in everlasting destruction that are in two groups. One, those who do not know God. Those that don't know him and those that do not have a relationship with him will be in that group. But the second, which will be a larger group, is those who do not obey the gospel of our Jesus Christ. Again, failure to obey the gospel, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, but a failure to carry out the instructions given by God places you in that category. And notice in verse 9, you're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That is going to be the punishment for the ungodly and the unprepared and those who do not continue to be faithful to God. Now, I know that many religions teach that once you're saved, that it doesn't matter what you do, that you have that salvation promised by God, and that nothing you do can take it away from you. But that's just not biblically correct, and it's contrary to the truth. And this passage in verse number 8 clearly teaches that those who do not obey the gospel, and that contains the teachings of Christ on various subjects, that if we don't do that, then we're going to be destroyed from the presence of God with everlasting destruction. Dear listener, please consider very soberly what that means, that we need to be prepared and we need to remain faithful. He also says in the end of this first letter that the name of Christ would be glorified in them if they continue to follow in his following his word. In chapter number 2, he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together in him, we ask you not to be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, that the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and a sign, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition," and that word perdition means judgment, "who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now verse 4 is talking about an attitude that prevails in the man of sin and the son of destruction. What is this man of sin? He exalts himself to be greater than God. He opposes everything that God says. And he is worshipped instead of God, so that he sits as God. He shows himself that he is God. Again, this is one who is blaspheming, and one who puts himself in the same category as God, making him a disobedient servant. And he says in verse 7, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with his breath of his mouth and destroy from the brightness of his coming. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Now, in these verses, he tells them that the mystery of lawlessness, and that means to act without authority, is already at work, even in the days that they were living in. "Lawless one shall be revealed. The Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth all who practice unrighteousness. He will destroy them with the brightness of his coming. And the coming of the lawless ones is according to the workings of Satan, and all power, signs, and lying wonders." And so Satan is going to try to deceive. He's going to try to mislead. He's going to try to misconstrue the truth. Why? In order that he might lead people away from God. And that was at work in the first century. And ladies and gentlemen, it's at work in the second century. And verse 9 says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Now, the bigger question that should be considered is, how do we prevent being misled and being led contrary to God and end up losing our souls? I want you to listen very carefully to verses 10 through 12. "With all unrighteousness and deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." Now understand that you can only be deceived if you allow yourself to be deceived. And the reason that a man is deceived, and the reason that a man will believe a delusion that is not according to the truth, is not because God wants him lost, it's because he does not love the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if a man does not love the truth, he will believe something that's erroneous. It may have some truth in it. It may have some good points in it. But if it's not the truth, it is deception. It's the work of the lawless one, and it will cause that person to believe the delusion. But the reason they'll be condemned and the reason that they will be lost is because they did not love the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, do you love the truth? Do you want only the truth? Will you live only by the truth? That is going to be determined by our life. We also see that verse 14 says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "In which he called us by our gospel for the attaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." All men are called to God by the gospel. It's not God speaking to us in an audible voice. It's not a little still voice that speaks to us in the night. It's not some miraculous intervention of God. He calls men by the gospel of Christ. That's how all men are called to God. Please consider the teachings of John 6, verse 44 and 45. And therefore, he says, "Brethren, stand fast." That means to remain steadfast. "And hold the tradition which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle." Whether they were taught it by the words of the apostles, or whether by the written inspiration of God, Those are the traditions of God, and those are to be continued in, and those are to be honored. Why? That we may have, according to verse 16, who has loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. Yes, God's grace is being poured out on man to give him an opportunity in order to remain faithful and obedient to his will. And then in verse 3, he concludes this short chapter. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it has with you, and that you may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have this faith. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Now, beginning in verse 6 through 15, he's going to address a problem within the church about those who are walking disorderly. Listen very carefully, because this is something that many men believe that can't be accomplished, because men can't be lost for what they do after they obey the gospel. He says, but we command you, brethren, in verse 6, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to tradition which he had received from us. For you yourself know that you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but work with labor and toil day and night, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort you through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in the quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-doing. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In these passages, it tells us that we have a responsibility to those who are walking disorderly. Those who are walking disorderly must be disciplined. They must be corrected, and their behavior must change. And he tells them that he told them when he was with them before that if a person won't work, neither shall he eat. Again, God expects us to do what we can. And he tells them that there were many in that day who were being busybodies, disorderly. They weren't walking according to God's will. They weren't doing the things that they should have been. They weren't working. They weren't doing the things that God required of them. And he told them in verse 14 not to keep company with them, not even to eat with such a one. Why? To make him ashamed. Why? That he return, that he repent, that he turn away from his sin. But never forget, he's still your brother, and admonish him as your brother. And so what we see in these passages is that God wants men to live faithfully. And when they don't, they must be disciplined in order not to hurt them, not to be ugly or mean to them, but to get them to repent, to turn away from the sin, and to walk again with God. That is backing up teaching we heard earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Discipline in the Lord's church is not just an option, it is a command. It's something we must practice for those who walk disorderly. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to come and worship God with us today and continue to listen to our broadcast. We hope you have a very blessed day.